Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
If there was one thing that I could say that I sensed that the Lord was speaking to the church today, and not to say that there's just one thing, but from what I can see, if there's one thing the Lord is saying, it has to do with unity. I believe that there's a fresh call from the Spirit to Christian unity.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 13, in a message titled, Receiving One Another. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
All right, so here we are once again picking up in our study in Romans. As I mentioned previously, the 14th chapter, it's not an entirely new section, but the apostle is taking the opportunity to really exhort the church toward unity. And he's taking the opportunity to challenge them not to be critical of one another, not to be judging one another. And essentially, when we do that, we blow our witness, and our testimony is weakened. And so that's really what Paul is addressing here, beginning in the 14th chapter, the first verse, but actually it goes all the way through the 13th verse of the 15th chapter. So we want to just take and follow Paul's thought pattern all the way from the beginning to the end. In the 7th verse of the 15th chapter, Paul sums up all he's been saying, which begins in chapter 14, verse 1. And there he says this. He says, therefore, receive one another. Receive one another. Could be translated accept one another. Could be translated even welcome one another. Receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receive one another to the glory of God. Christian unity glorifies God. If there was one thing that I could say that I sensed that the Lord was speaking to the church today, and not to say that there's just one thing, but from what I can see, if there's one thing the Lord is saying, it has to do with unity. I believe that there's a fresh call from the Spirit to Christian unity. I believe it's time for Christians, true Christians, Bible-believing Christians, whatever their stripe, whatever their affiliation or denomination, whatever the case might be, I believe it's time for us to put away our minor differences, our petty differences, and to really rally together around the person of Christ, around the Word of God, and around the work that God is wanting to do in the world today. And I really believe this strongly. This is a deep conviction that I have. And there are many things that I see that speak to me that this is indeed what the Lord is saying. Because I'm not the only one that's sensing this. I'm not the only one that's hearing this. There's a lot of different people out there that are hearing the same thing and therefore making efforts to set aside petty differences and to really try to come together around the person of Christ. And if we understand that Christian unity glorifies God, then we're going to be desirous to do that very thing. Remember, Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, he prayed for oneness among those who believe in him. Listen to what he said. He said, I pray for those who will believe in me that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So Jesus is praying, Lord, Father, this is my prayer, that they may be one as we are one, that the world may believe that you sent me. So Jesus is saying to us that Christian unity is part of the testimony to who he is and the fact that he is the Son of God who has been sent into the world by the Father. Since Christian unity glorifies God, Satan is always looking to cause division. And Christians seem to go along with his efforts more times than not. If you think about it, and we've talked about it previously. We talked about it a little bit in the previous study. But again, just, you know, let me just mention a few things here. But, you know, and as I mentioned them, I think you're going to agree that these are petty kinds of things, but we get caught up in this stuff. We get caught up in the, my church is better than your church, or my denomination or affiliation or movement or what group, whatever it is. Oh, mine's better than yours, or my pastor is better than your pastor, or my Bible version is better than your Bible version. That's the one that really gets me, you know. My Bible version is better than your Bible version. But then also, our doctrine is purer than your doctrine. And it just seems that there is this bent within many Christians toward dividing over these kinds of things. And as I mentioned before, I like to read church history and biographies, Christian biographies and things. And in the course of reading church history, you inevitably will come across the various disagreements that have occurred and the debates and so forth. And some of them, of course, were legitimate and necessary, and truth was at stake and it had to be defended. And that's all good and wonderful, and it should be the case. But some of the stuff that Christians have fought over and argued over and debated and divided over the centuries, it's just the kind of stuff where you think, wow, you know, how could they have become so conflicted over this type of a thing? Where some of it is even beyond our ability to totally grasp it anyway. You know, things having to do with a big debate in church history had to do with the trying to understand the two natures in Christ. And, you know, one group had a perspective on it and another group had a different perspective on it. And then, you know, a big controversy developed, and then, you know, somebody was called a heretic and driven out. And that debate, as I've looked at it over the years and kind of revisited, I think to myself, you know, they're arguing and debating over things that I don't think anybody really knows the answer to this, because the Bible hasn't made it crystal clear.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website, and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
So, all of this kind of behavior is of the flesh. It's contrary to the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. So Paul's plea here in these verses throughout chapter 14 and half of chapter 15, his plea is that we love and receive each other rather than judge and divide against one another. And in that, he is, as we see, he's echoing the words of Jesus in that high priestly prayer. He's expressing what the heart of Christ is. So, going back to the 14th chapter, Paul says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Now, here again, some of you remember we talked a bit about this previously, but looking at these two people that Paul is describing here, there's a person who's weak, he says, and then there's a person who's strong. The weak person, as we pointed out, the weak are essentially people who have not got a clear understanding of the grace of God and thus tend toward a fear-driven legalism, which often leads to a critical and a judgmental spirit. That's the weaker person. But the stronger person, the tendency of the stronger person is to look down upon the weaker person in contempt because of their weakness. And so what Paul is arguing for here really is, you know, we have to be gracious to each other. We have to learn to be patient with one another. We have to accept each other sort of where we're at and trust that God is working in our lives to bring us along. And so in verse 4, who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and indeed he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. This verse has challenged me so many times, because I've been guilty many times of judging the Lord's servants, and they don't meet up to my particular standard, or they don't believe exactly what I think they ought to believe, or they don't do ministry the way that I think ministry ought to be done. And so I find myself, and have found myself over the years at times, being critical, judging them in my heart, and sometimes even verbally expressing that. And this has been something that over the years the Lord has been convicting me about and dealing with me about and bringing me to a place of recognizing that this is not my job. It's not my calling to do this. This is the Lord's work. It's between him and his servant. And who am I to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And God is able to make him stand. This past week, I watched this discussion that I've been watching amongst these pastors that I mentioned previously. And in watching like 8 or 10 of these sessions, there's one guy in there that's received a lot of criticism, but as I've watched it, I've really admired his humility. He's really taken a lot of shots, you know, kind of right on the chin, so to speak, and he's just humbled himself. And anyway, so I just happened to send out a tweet that I appreciated him and a few things that I appreciated about him. And I got a response to that, and it was a very critical response. Like, you know, you must have your head in the sand if you're thinking this guy's humble or teachable or anything. Have you heard this is what he said or whatever? you know, a number of things like that. And so I just responded back to that person and I said, well, you know, you might want to consider these verses. And this was one of the verses that I gave them, as well as Matthew chapter 7, judge not lest you be judged. And so anyway, I ended up getting into a nice little conversation with this person. And, you know, it seemed like it turned out pretty good. They were pretty open to being corrected at this point. But the point is, you know, there's this tendency to just, you know, we see, you know, maybe we see on YouTube, we see a video clip of somebody, or we, you know, heard them say something in a 3-second little, you know, audio blurb, or somebody else had said something about this person, and then we take that on board, and then we start spreading it, and we don't realize what we're doing, and all the while, this is a servant of God. And God's at work at this person's life. And God's bringing them along. And, you know, one of the things that's helped me over the years to, you know, kind of mellow in that area is to just look back at my own life and think of all the mercy God's had on me and all that he's done to, you know, patiently endure with me over the years and to bring me into more maturity. I've done a lot of stupid things. I've said some stupid things. And I look back and I think, thank you, Lord, that you didn't give up on me. And so this is something that we just have to be very, very careful about, because these are the servants of the Lord. And they might not be doing it the way we think they ought to do it. They might have a different methodology, but that's okay. That's between them and God. God is able to make them stand. God is able to sort them out as they need sorting. And so, Paul goes on. He says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, remember, the context here is Jewish, Gentile. And so the dietary issues would be a factor there. And then the reference to the days here. The Jews would have been big on days. They would have been big on the Sabbath day. They would have been big on the festival days. And they would esteem these days as very special and holy days. Many of the Gentiles wouldn't have that conviction. So inevitably, the Jewish believer would stand in judgment of the Gentile believer. Well, they're not respecting the Sabbath, or they're not honoring this festival day. Paul says, look, one man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Each person needs to be fully convinced in their own mind. You see, there are things that are personal between the believer and God. And this is something that's important to know. Some people are going to have freedom to do certain things that other people aren't. And it's just a thing between the Lord and those people. And we have to be careful not to jump in the middle and try to, you know, put forth our opinion as, well, this is the right perspective on this thing, because we don't know. The Lord might have spoken something to this person, and that's between them and God. That's what Paul's talking about here. Let everyone be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. So Paul is saying, look, we're in the body of Christ. And it's not about us. It's about the Lord. It's about living for the Lord. And it's about pleasing the Lord. That's the important thing. Everybody needs to make sure they're pleasing the Lord. And instead of standing in judgment of everybody else, I need to be asking myself the question, am I pleasing the Lord? You know, if we think about it, I got enough of my own problems to worry about instead of trying to sort out everybody else's issues. These folks today that are involved in what they call the discernment ministries. The discernment ministries are basically just excuses to judge people. And they sit around and they harshly judge other Christians. And I wonder if they ever think, you know, that with the measure you judge, it will be measured back to you. Don't you have any problems in your own life that you might spend a little time focusing on instead of trying to pull the splinter out of everybody else's eye when you got a plank in your own? That's what Jesus said. So we've got to be careful. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. So here Paul is reminding us of this sobering reality. We're all busy judging each other. Paul says, don't you realize that you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ yourself? So again, we need to be careful when it comes to this. We don't know much of the time all of the details. And much of the time we're passing false judgments. Or we're condemning people over things that they have long since repented of. I was talking to a couple of friends today, and a certain preacher came up who had a reputation for being the cussing pastor. And not a good reputation, obviously. And so, you know, somebody mentioned that to me, and I said, well, you know, that was the case about 10 years ago. But they've long since repented of that. They've long since publicly confessed that that was absolutely stupid and idiotic. And thank God that he had mercy on them. And there's been a real effort in this person's life to grow, and a real growth and humility. But, you know, those kinds of things so often, they stick with people. And they continue to judge people over things that they might have done decades ago and repented of decades ago. But they just heard about it. Oh yeah, I heard that they did this. Well, that was a long time ago. So you see, really, the way to avoid getting into trouble in that area is just to determine, you know, I'm not going to worry about judging. That's not my job anyway. I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
And now let's join Pastor Brian and his wife, Cheryl, in the studio as they talk about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
So, Brian, there's something new out, but I guess it's older, but to me it's new. It's Israel on Location with Chuck Smith. So it's my dad in these different places in Israel, and in it he's sharing from Mount Carmel, Joppa, Mount of Beatitudes, Capernaum, Caesarea Philippi, Megiddo, Beth Shan, Gideon Spring, and other places. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be talking about the covenant God made with Israel, some of the Bible stories.
Yep.
What a neat DVD to have.
Yeah. And of course, your dad loved Israel.
Absolutely
and,
loved it.
Traveling to Israel with your dad was really a joy because he loved the country so much. And of course, his knowledge of scripture. And I remember one time sitting there at the Mount of Beatitudes, and he preached the whole Sermon on the Mount. And I remember it was riveting, you know, right there with the Sea of Galilee in the background. Of course, we love Israel. We take annual trips to Israel. But for those that love Israel and love Pastor Chuck's teaching, Israel on Location is the DVD, and that's our monthly offer. And we encourage you to get your copy.
And it's great. Some people can't afford to right. get to Israel. And here's a way to get to Israel for a lot less money with Chuck Smith.
Yep.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order this DVD collection titled Israel on Location with Chuck Smith by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of this DVD set, Israel on Location. Then click the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this DVD collection of Pastor Chuck touring Israel and teaching about the richness of the Hebrew culture of 14 different Israel sites. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.